Hello and welcome to the Carolina Panthers Football In My Mind podcast. I'm your host, Luke Farber. And what is in my mind today? Well, we are just 2 days away from the opening kickoff down in Jacksonville, Florida. Panthers take on the Jacksonville Jaguars, and we're going to go ahead and preview and look at that game a little bit more in depth. But before we do that, did you guys see that game last night? Are you kidding me? Jalen Carter gets kicked out before the first play from scrimmage. Obviously not the kickoff, but he and Dak Prescott exchange words and he spits on him. Ref kicks him out right away, you know, and I don't know. It's a weird, weird way, you know, and I'm sure everybody has covered this. They said it last night, but it is a weird way to start the season. You just kind of raise a couple of eyebrows with that. But anyway, it really affected the game because Jalen Carter is probably one of the top five defensive linemen in the entire NFL. So for him to miss the whole game like that, it gave Dallas an opportunity to really take advantage of him missing the game. And unfortunately, they missed the opportunity. Dallas had a lot of opportunities. CeeDee Lamb, one of the best wide receivers in the entire NFL, dropped several key passes late that could have given them a chance to win that game. And they're going to look back and regret those drops. But that's just another example about how the first month of the season is an extension of the preseason. Players aren't ready to go because they didn't get any snaps in the actual preseason. So the first month of the year is getting your legs, getting your conditioning, getting up to speed and on the same page with your teammates. So it's not going to look nearly as pretty as it will in about 6 weeks. So unfortunately, you have to deal with some headaches early on in the season. And like last night, they can cost a team like the Dallas Cowboys the game. Now, you're not going to break my heart telling me that the Dallas Cowboys lost. I think most people either love them or you hate them, and I don't love them, man. Now, anyway, we got another game tonight. We got the Chargers and the Chiefs going at it at San Paulo, Brazil. That's Los Angeles and Kansas City for you fans out there. And this should be a good one. Obviously, division rivals. You got two really good coaches in Jim Harbaugh and Andy Reid. Two pretty good quarterbacks as well in Patrick Mahomes and Justin Herbert. Even though Herbert hasn't proven the postseason success that Mahomes has, he's got all the talent in the world. So it should be a fun one to watch. I kind of expect the Chargers to overtake the Chiefs this year in the division. I don't necessarily think they're the better team. I just believe Kansas City's going to have some tough times this year coming off a Super Bowl hangover. But I do think they're able to get this game tomorrow night because of the Rashawn Slater, the all-world left tackle for the Chargers, out for the year already. So that's really going to hurt them, especially in game one. As, like we discussed before, they're kind of getting up to speed in the preseason. And, you know, you get into that fourth quarter and these guys are dog tired. And we'll see what happens. But I think the Chiefs edge them out in a close one defensive game. That's for sure. Anyway, moving on to our game. Hey, the season is here, and I have been ready, and I know you have been too. So let's get into this first game. We're playing Jacksonville, down in Jacksonville. Obviously, we start the year on the road, which is not as great as starting it at the bank, but we're not going too far. The one thing about traveling to Jacksonville or anywhere in Florida in the first month of the season is that it's still kind of summertime weather down there, so I looked at the game report and it looked like the temps would be in the high 80s, low 90s, and I'm sure the humidity level is going to make that much worse, you know, as far as all the players losing fluids. We already talked about how they're probably not quite in game shape yet, so depth is really going to be a key in any games in Florida in the first month of the year, and definitely in this one, so it is good that we have been able to foster better depth on the roster, and we're going to need it on Sunday. Now, let's talk a little bit about our opponent. Now, Jacksonville, obviously, everybody knows that Jacksonville and Carolina came into the NFL in the same year, back in 1995-96. And so we're kind of joined at the hip in that way. And I tell you what, I don't want Jacksonville to have the success that we're not having. So anytime that we can beat them, that's a feather in our cap as far as I'm concerned. So Jacksonville has struggled in recent years. They only won four games last year. They changed head coaches in the offseason. Liam Cohen comes over from the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Obviously, we're familiar with him there in division. Now, he was their offensive coordinator last year and did a great job with Baker Mayfield and Bucky Irving and that running game. He comes from the Sean McVay coaching tree, the coach from the Los Angeles Rams, who has had more than a handful of assistants get head coaching jobs around the NFL, and they're usually fairly successful. So we at least hope that Liam Cohen's career gets off to a slow start, 0-1 at least. So the thing they say about him is his offenses are more run heavy, which for a quarterback, for a receiver group, for anything, it all starts up front with the running game. If you can run the football successfully, then the defense has to respect the fact that you can run the ball, and it opens up everything in the passing game, especially when you're talking about play action. So that's one thing of the McVay Shanahan tree of coaches, is that they all want to lean into running the ball heavily and then running good, effective play action off that run. So that is something the defense is going to have to look out for. Obviously, their quarterback, Trevor Lawrence, former number one pick, highly touted from Clemson. I was not nearly as high on him when he came out on the draft that a lot of people were. I thought that he was a good, solid quarterback prospect. Obviously, he's big, he's fast, he's strong, he's got an arm. But I thought, you know, his time at Clemson, he didn't quite show the toughness, I was looking for, or the ability to overcome when his team wasn't the best on the field. Because in the ACC, especially at that time, Clemson was far and above any division or conference rival. So really, they were only challenged maybe once or twice a year in that conference, and they never played a great out of conference schedule, and they've always end up in the college football championship. And you know, obviously he won one as a freshman and then lost in the semis to Justin Fields. And I was actually a much bigger fan of Justin Fields personally, but his pro career has been up and down. He's had a couple of good seasons. He had a really big playoff comeback win his one good year. But he's been injury-plagued. He's turned the ball over too much. He's been indecisive. He's had two fairly bad years back-to-back. So they're hoping that the new coach and the running game and the play action can kind of bring his career back to life. Now, another thing you have to look out for with his career and that passing game is Brian Thomas Jr. He was their first round pick from last year. He's a wide receiver from LSU, and he took the league by storm. He was one of the best last year as a rookie, and everyone is looking for him to take that next step and possibly be a top five wide receiver in the NFL. So it's going to be really important that JC and Mike Jack and Trevon Moehrig and Nick Scott in the back end are on the same page, and we're not going to lose him and let him get over our heads, because that's one of his things is speed, speed, speed. So don't let him get deep, fellas. After that, they drafted Travis Hunter. Everybody knows Travis Hunter. If you don't know Travis Hunter, he played for the last couple seasons at Colorado for Coach Prime, Deion Sanders. He was a two-way college player. He played wide receiver. He played cornerback on defense. So he was one of the first to do this so successfully at the college level in a long time. It ended up earning him the Heisman Trophy, and he got picked second, number two overall in the first round of the NFL draft this year. And Jacksonville traded up to get him. They traded first round picks in the next couple of drafts. And everybody has an opinion on Travis Hunter. This is mine, and I had it before the draft, and it hasn't really changed much. I thought he was a really, really good athlete, a really talented and natural football player, but I wasn't sure if I saw the polish that is required to be a true professional and work the craft of both wide receiver and defensive back, because in the NFL, all the athletes are great. you really have to be an upper echelon athlete to only rely on your athleticism as a player. Now, there's plenty of time for him to grow. He's just a rookie. He can get better at all the technical aspects of things and really be an outstanding player. However, as a wide receiver and a cornerback and trying to play both ways in the NFL, I don't believe that's possible. Not in the way he was able to do it in college. It's too much taxing on your body, and you're going to get hurt. You're going to get too fatigued. So your play at one position may fall off because you're too tired from playing another position. So it'll be an experiment to see how that works. But I think eventually in the long term, he's going to be a one-way player on offense, maybe sprinkled in a little bit on defense. We'll see. They definitely need him more on offense in Jacksonville to play wide receiver. So one of the things that I've heard about him through the preseason is learning the language of the NFL offense and learning how to dictate a playbook into his play on the field has been a challenging transition for him. Usually in college, he was able to look over the sidelines and they hold up some sort of sign with a symbol on it. And it's, you know, he has that play memorized. He's able to go right to his spot and do his thing. Now in the NFL and the huddle, learning the language of an offense and your particular part in that language so that you actually know your job and can complete it is paramount. And so he's had some challenges with that. So will that be an issue on Sunday? I don't know. I kind of have a feeling he'll get plenty of play on offense and a little play on defense. But I think it was a real stretch to trade up in the draft and sacrifice future first round picks for a guy who plays two ways, but no one knows whether him playing two ways at the NFL level is going to work. And personally, I don't think it's going to. Anyway, moving on. Let's go to the defensive side of the ball. Jacksonville has a couple of really good pass rushers in Josh Allen and Trevon Walker. And those guys are definitely going to challenge our tackles, especially if Ike Ekwonu, our left tackle, because he had an appendectomy last week, might end up missing the game. So you got to pay attention to those pass rushers. Other than that, Jacksonville's defense is very average to below average. They were one of the worst defenses in the league last year, along with us. So we believe that the offense is going to have some opportunities for success if they can keep those pass rushers off of Bryce Young. Moving on to us and Bryce Young. Hey, yeah, we got to deal with the heat. So obviously Bryce has got to start and lead from that. We got to run the ball. We got to run the ball effectively. Luckily, we've got a three-headed monster in the backfield now with Chuba Hubbard, Rico Dowdle, and Trevor Etienne, and they should be able to share the load with this hot day down in Jacksonville and get the job done. Our receivers, we obviously have big Teteroa McMillan, the first-round rookie from this year, Xavier Leggett. Unfortunately, Jalen Coker had to go on the IR for the first 4 weeks of the season, but it looks like Hunter Renfro is going to get the start in the slot. I'd love to see some of Jimmy Horn and that speed on the field. Just get the ball in his hands and let him go, especially late in the game if you can get some fatigued players on defense. Our Big Haas offensive line, like I said before, should be able to keep Jacksonville's D-line at bay, but it will be interesting to see if Icky starts, and if he doesn't, who is going to take over and how effective they are. Now, we've got really good backup offensive linemen, so it's really not something I'm worried about at all. Next, going over the defensive side of the ball, obviously that's where we need to see the most improvement this year, along with the offense continuing to take steps if we are going to be a better team, a winning record type team. So we'll be looking to see how the defensive line does, especially down in the heat, down with a running coach who's going to be calling a lot of run plays. They got a couple of effective backs in Tank Bisbee and Travis Etienne, Trevor's brother. So we're going to have to be, it all starts up front. It all starts with stopping the run so that that play action that they're going to run can be less effective, and the guys in the back end will be less vulnerable to having the ball thrown over their heads or in front of them. So I'll be looking to see how that new revamped defensive line is able to stop the run. And then obviously in passing situations, can we get any pressure on Lawrence? Can we get off the field on third downs? That's going to tell a lot about the success of this defense this season. Is can we get a rush on third down and can we get stops? Because last year we couldn't do either. Obviously, another key part of NFL defense today is a lot of teams play a bend but don't break style, and that's kind of our style as well, is where you let teams kind of dink and dunk their way down the field, and then once they get down into the red zone, you kind of tighten up and try to stop them from scoring touchdowns, sevens, and make them kick field goals, threes. Now, with the evidence of analytics and everybody going for it on fourth down a whole lot more, you can't necessarily count on getting threes if you can't stop a fourth down. But that also gives you the opportunity to create a turnover with no points and stopping a team on fourth down. So these are the things that I'm going to be looking for throughout the season, but definitely this first game. And also, you know, I want to see how Trevin Wallace, our second-year linebacker, is going to progress from year one to year two. We saw a lot of good things with his athleticism and his fiery play, but we want him to have grown and learned and be a little bit more cerebral player this year. So we'll see if he can take that step. And the key in the secondary that was just so bad last year and put us in such a bind was the communication. We can't have guys running free in the secondary all year long. So that's one of those things that we're just going to have to button up. And I'll definitely be seeing if the new safeties help with that. Anyway, you know, it should be a fun game. It's always great to get the season started. It's better to get it started with a win. And I tell you what, we're going to do it. This is the year. We're starting off on the right foot. We're going to go down to Jacksonville and get the win 28-24. Take it home, Bryce and company. Let's go. Keep pounding.